And Jesus said a lot of things there in that chapter, and he boiled it all down in the end by simply saying, "Be ye therefore also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh." And I hope that you're ready, because he is coming. I'm looking forward to that day. I'm preaching from Hebrews 12 this morning. Hebrews 12. I understand that the church through the last several services has been surrounded in Hebrews 11 and 12. And yet the last few days seem like the Lord's burdened my heart about a thought that I want to share with you this morning. I believe is where we need to be. Brother John did such a great job last Sunday night and preaching on the importance of the church and attending church physically, and preached out of Hebrews 12, gave us a lot of insight on some things. And then on Wednesday night, I understand Brother Joe, as he is filling in for us, was preaching from Hebrews 11. And I thank God for the good reports we've had about that message and how it's helped God's people. And this morning I'm interested in Hebrews chapter 12. I'll get there in a moment. If you want to look at another verse, Isaiah 50. I want to share this verse with you. One of the things that I have always, I say always, I think I'm pretty accurate, pretty close to always, have desired as a preacher is I want to be an encouragement to people. I want to be a help and a blessing to people. And sometimes that help comes through, amen, what some call camp meeting style messages. They call them helpful messages. Sometimes that help comes through just barn burning, sin killing messages. And we need that to help us and bless us along the way. My objective has always been to be a preacher that would have a heart to want to help people, and that God would give me a voice to help people. And I pray that, along with the prayer for wisdom, Brother Mike, I pray, Lord, use me somehow, some way. If there's any way, you're going to have to do it just to be a help to those that need some help along the way. I understand Isaiah 50 in many ways, Brother Mo, is messianic. But I read this verse this week, and I said, that's it. That is what I've been praying and desiring the Lord to do with my life. Isaiah 50, and in verse number 4, the Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned. In other words, Brother Tim, he's saying he's given me some wisdom beyond my own. The Lord had to give it to him. It wasn't in him himself. Now notice what he said he was going to do with this. With this tongue, this voice, this wisdom that God gave him, he said that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. To him that is weary. Is there anybody in the building? Don't raise your hand now. Amen. Is there anybody in the building that you are weary? Something has you weary. Something has you maybe discouraged. Something maybe has you down. We're coming up on the year anniversary as far as how our country has been so drastically affected, and who would have ever dreamed this Sunday, 365 or 66 days ago, amen, with the leap year last year, 2020 is so bad we even got an extra day out of it. And who would have dreamed this Sunday last year that just in a short amount of time we'd be facing everything we face as a country, and just as families, as a church, the things that we've encountered in this last year. And a lot of things have changed, and there's a lot of changes being made that we don't like. I understand all change ain't bad, but there's some changes taking place in our country. There are changes taking place politically and religiously. There are changes that are going on, just seem like, and with change, there's discomfort, and we go getting nervous. I was listening to an interview this week, not an interview, somebody had done a video and was just talking to a certain crowd, and this individual was talking about how they were coping with all the stress and the changes and the isolation that people have felt in these days. And this man, I don't know where he stands with the Lord, but he began to talk about his life and different things that he had faced over the last year and how he's handled things. And he referenced the fact that he had had several friends to commit suicide. And he was talking about families that he knew that he had never dreamed would have been divorced and separated and destroyed that through the last year. And when we consider all that's going on in our day, suicide's at a near all-time high, and divorce is run rampant and is skyrocketing again. And there seems to be throughout the country, I don't mean to depress you, I'm going to get some good stuff in a minute, but I'm just being real, this is where we are, that there is in all that we faced and in all the changes, there seems to be an internal turmoil even among the people of God. And if anybody ought to be handling these days with grace and with encouragement and with faith and joy and peace, it ought to be the people of God. And I'm not telling you I'm some gleaming example. What I'm going to preach to you today, amen, I need to get a hold of, and I believe you need to get a hold of and understand that there is a way to deal with all of these things. And we've seen people die. We've seen people we love get very, very sick and have been, amen, sick months ago that still haven't recovered from the sickness. We're seeing just numbers are down in church attendance. Every pastor I talk to says we're lower now than we've ever been. And all these things play into the mind of the child of God and play into how we're dealing and relating to one another. And I'm going to give you a very simple solution in this hour that the Lord has been burning in my heart and really for months now I've been trying to live this and been trying to live it. And it's easier, John said Sunday, it's easier to preach than it is to live. But I believe that it's the key to you and I, if you're saved, you and I being able to make it in these days. Hebrews 12, these are familiar verses. And I'm going to let you remain seated. I done kind of got started this morning anyway, but I trust you'll give honor the reading of God's Word in your heart this morning. The Bible said in verse number 1, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." And I believe that's where we're at, Brother Mo. I believe people in our generation, they become weary and they become faint in their minds. And yet the Apostle Paul is writing to a crowd that has faced hardship. He's not belittling their hardship. They've been done wrong. And he's not belittling the fact that they've been done wrong or they've been mistreated. But he calls upon them in these verses that they would do something, several things in fact, but I want to center all this around the opening phrase of verse number 2 where Paul said, "Looking unto Jesus." Looking unto Jesus. And I believe today for those that are weary and faint in their minds, those that maybe have had some mistreatment or had some wrong done or some hardship or burden placed upon your shoulders. Maybe you just got a lot of insecurities and a lot of instabilities in your mind about how's all this going to go. I believe the Apostle Paul gives us some good wisdom and counsel for us to consider this morning, and it's just the simple thought, looking unto Jesus. When we consider the word looking here, and I'll give you my thought in just a moment, the word looking that Paul uses here simply means to consider attentively. To consider attentively. In other words, cast your sight upon the Lord Jesus Christ and consider Him and do so with much attention. And take it all in and study His life and study His miseries and study His endurance and study the problems that He was patient to endure and consider Him attentively. Don't just casually gaze upon Him. Don't just look and then look away. Amen. Don't just think you know all there is to know about Him and then go right on back to living your life the way you've been doing. But rather sit down and consider attentively. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ. Give attentive consideration to your Savior and give attentive consideration to your Lord. This word looking means to look steadfastly or intently toward a distant object. Now, if we're going to look unto Jesus today, we're going to have to, Brother A.L., do it by faith, as though He is in a distant land. He is in heaven. He is, as the verse reminds us, set down at the right hand of God. Amen. And so we understand that where the Lord is. Amen. But that does not mean that we cannot look steadfastly and intently upon the one who laid down His life for you and I. Amen. Listen. Amen. Listen. This word looking means to behold. Interestingly, to behold in the mind and to fix the mind upon. Amen. Now when He says looking unto Jesus, He's not talking about what old Oral Roberts said. Amen. Many, many years ago that he had a dream and at the end of his bed, he gazed upon a 700-foot tall Jesus. Amen. How ludicrous is that? I mean, how ridiculous that even sounds today. But my friend, we do not gaze upon some vision. Amen. At the end of our bed, we do not gaze upon some dream in the nighttime hour, but rather Paul is saying, amen, you need to exercise your mind and bring your mind into subjection and focus, amen, not necessarily upon, amen, all that is going on around you. In fact, don't do that. And he's saying that you need to focus your mind in upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Behold Him in your mind. Amen. Fix your mind upon Him. Amen. Don't let it stray. Don't let it wander. Don't. Amen. As Tim was teaching this morning, don't. Amen. Let your feelings take over and distract your mind. Amen. From being fixed upon the Son of God. Amen. Looking unto Jesus. Amen. Consider the fact, the definition I've given you. Amen. Considering attentively and to look steadfastly or intently torn to fix the mind upon. That is, put it there and leave it there. He said this. He said, looking unto Jesus. Amen. We could say this morning that when we were lost and without God, that the Word of God was preached by a man of God one day in the Holy Ghost, began to open our eyes and remove the blinders. And there was a day that we looked to Jesus for salvation. I won't run all the references, but in my study the last several days for this message for this morning, I read the verse in Isaiah that the Lord Jesus said, amen, look unto me, all ye the ends of the earth, and ye shall be saved, for there is none beside me. And so Isaiah, the Lord through Isaiah was saying, that when you were lost and undone, the only hope you had for salvation, amen, was to quit looking at yourself
and quit looking at those around you that you thought you were better than. Amen. Quit looking to your religion and your mammo and your papa on it and how good you thought that you were. And look to Jesus so you can be saved. It's just typified in the Old Testament story of the Israelites in the wilderness with the judgment of God through fiery serpents was unleashed upon the congregation for their murmuring and their complaining. And Moses intercedes for the people of God. And the Lord said, Moses, I tell you what you do. Amen. You make a brazen serpent and you put it upon a pole and carry it to the middle of the camp and raise it high. That everybody, no matter how near or far they may be, and when they're bit by that serpent, the only thing they have to do is what? Amen. Jesus said, or the Lord said, amen, look and ye shall live. Amen. Can I say nearly 25 years ago, amen, under the judgment of God, certainly deserving of it, I realized how sin bit and sin sick I really was. Amen. And thank God that Jesus said, as the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Amen. And in doing so one day, realized in the shape I was in, I didn't need medicine from a doctor. I didn't need counseling from a shrink. I didn't, my friend, need more religion. Thank God my eyes were open and I looked to Him who alone can save it. And thank God I live today. Amen. And so in salvation, men look to Jesus. Amen. But here it is not looking to Jesus. Amen. But I love the word that is used here. Amen. It is looking unto Jesus. And so looking itself means look there and keep looking. But when he says unto, he is emphasizing that part of the definition. Amen. You are to look and you are to keep looking. Amen. You are to look intently. And in looking intently, do not, amen, take your eyes off of Jesus. Amen. You look to Him and we're saved. Amen. But now that you're saved, you're to be looking unto Jesus. Amen. So that you can make it in this race that we are running. Amen. Can I say, maybe getting a little ahead of myself. Amen. I'll clear it up in a minute. But, amen, we're to be looking unto Jesus. Amen. Don't allow the things going on around you. Amen. Don't let the feelings that are within you. Do not let the voices that whisper in your ear that there is no hope and you're not going to make it. My friend, this crowd had been run out of their homes. This crowd was that crowd James had ran to and had been scattered abroad. That my friend had endured such great trials of affliction. My friend Paul, hallelujah, said, amen, if you're going to make it in this earth, amen, you just got to look at Him, amen, who saved you, and keep looking to Him. And so I want to preach this morning for a moment on this thought, keep your eyes on Jesus. Amen. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Amen. We're living in a day, my friend, there's much to gain our attention. There's much, my friend, to draw, amen, our vision away from Him. That is our life source and our lifeblood. The one who is our victory and the maintaining of it, amen, is the one we must keep our eyes upon. Amen. I have to be honest, the days that I get my eyes off Jesus, that's when, Brother Riley, I struggle. That's when I feel overwhelmed. That's when I feel useless and worthless, and that my race is being run in vain. But when I keep my eyes upon Him, when I fix my mind upon Him, amen, it's amazing the victory that we find. Amen. And so today, amen, I want to challenge us with the thought, keep your eyes on Jesus. Amen. Keep your eyes on the one. Amen. Who loved you and washed you and gave himself for you. Amen. Keep your eyes upon the one. Amen. That when all is out of control in your life and it seems like that life, amen, you have no grip and then it's all slipping out of the grasp of your hand. Amen. Can I remind you we're called upon here? Keep our eyes upon the one, amen, who has all power in heaven and in earth. The one, my friend, that has not lost a grip on your life. The one today that, amen, knows the end from the beginning. One who is orchestrating all things for his own glory and for you and his own good. Amen. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Amen. Somebody said, I got to keep my eye on my enemy. I got to keep my eye on this person or that person. Hey, my friend, can I say today, amen, we do better today to get our eyes on Jesus and keep them there. We'll make it further down the road. Amen. With more joy and victory and peace, Seth, and even watching our enemy. I know we got to be vigilant. I know we've got to be sober. I know that, my friend, we, amen, have got to take serious the things of God. Amen. But Paul has given us a key to the Christian life. Amen. And is simply found in the thought of keep your eyes on Jesus. On Jesus, keep your eyes on Him. Let me give you some thoughts here, just kind of centered around these verses that I wrote down here the last 3 or 4 days. Amen. I want to say, number one, keep your eyes on Jesus, though the distractions be loud. Keep your eyes on Jesus, though the distractions be loud. I've read these 3 verses in our hearing this morning. And Brother A.L., what is interesting to me is that in each of these verses, I find a particular distraction that a man tries to interfere with this truth and thought and command. And we're to keep our eyes upon Jesus. Amen. And so may I say today, and there are many distractions around you and that. And the same distractions that Paul deals with in this text are the same distractions we're facing all these years later. The distractions have not changed. You'd think that the church would have wised up. You'd have thought that, my friend, Christians would have wised up to this. And yet, my friend, there's still as much a distraction, amen, today as they've ever been at. I may would even say louder than they've ever been. Amen. May I say this morning, verse number one, don't be distracted by sin. Amen. Did you catch what he said? Amen. Lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Amen. If you're going to look unto Jesus, friend, amen, you're going to have to do it though the distraction of sin be loud. You're living in a culture and in a society today. Amen. Friend beckons us on every hand. Amen. Beckons us to do wrong. And beckons us to violate what we know to be right. Amen. Friend, for you and I, to sin against God, against His Word, and against our own knowledge and our own conscience. My friend, Paul said, if you're going to make it in this day, amen, looking unto Jesus, amen, He's the author and finisher of your faith, and you're going to have distractions around you, and those distractions are going to be sin. Amen, don't be distracted by sin. Amen, you say, well, everybody's doing it. I don't care what everybody's doing it. Amen, remember, I guess every young person's always said this, their mom or dad, amen, when they tell you not to do something and you'd say, well, all my friends are doing it, amen, and my mom or daddy would say, if they all jump off a cliff, you're going to jump too, amen, if they all jump off a bridge, are you going to jump too, amen, friend, I want to say to this generation, amen, I don't care what everybody else is doing, we as God's children are to keep our eyes upon the Lord. And if you're going to do that, you must learn how to not be distracted by sin. Amen. Don't let it find a foothold in the door. Don't let it get a foothold in your mind. Don't let it get a foothold in your heart. Amen. Don't let sin ruin your life. Amen. Don't listen to the lies said. Amen. Nobody's ever sinned and got by with it. Amen. You say, oh, but I can sin and I'll ask God to forgive me. Oh, friend, I understand and thank God for forgiveness. Amen. But I think if we're going to make it in this day, amen, we better understand. Amen. We cannot allow ourselves to be distracted by sin. Say amen right there. You know I'm telling the right. Every commercial, nearly every billboard, amen, except one. I don't know if many of y'all, amen, have headed toward the guards lately. Amen, it's been a while till this week that I did. Amen, but there on the guards, headed in the guards, amen, not too far down the road. In fact, amen, you'll barely make it out of Newport. Amen, and over there's a big old yellow background billboard with big black lettering. Amen, that is saying, don't look at pornography. Amen. Don't look at pornography for the sake of your children and the sake of your wife. Amen. And the sake of the decency of women. Don't look at pornography. And buddy, I'm telling you, it was just so big and surprising. It wasn't advertising drinking moonshine. It wasn't advertising methamphetamine. Amen. Some bar room somewhere. Amen. It was refreshing. To the point that Brother Larry had shocked me. Yeah. Hey man, you know what that billboard was said? Hey man, don't get distracted by sin. Yeah. And I'm telling you, we're eat up with sin. Yeah. It ain't no wonder God's people dropping like flies. And that friend ain't running a well race. Hey man, they're not making it to the finish line because they get distracted by every sin that comes along. Amen, you got to fight this thing. I didn't mean to hang up here. Amen, but you're going to have to fight this thing, friend. Amen, there's distractions everywhere. Amen, I mean it's at the touch of a button. Amen, it's on your phone. It's on your computer. My friend is everywhere. Amen, we can talk about all sorts of outward sins and things we get caught up in. But, amen, what about the internal sin that, amen, nobody else can see for a while? Amen, bitterness is still a sin. Malice is still a sin. Amen. And gossiping and complaining and murmuring and praying and backbiting is still sin. Amen. And folk think, well, you know, I don't smoke and I don't chew and I don't run with them who do. Amen. But buddy, I'm telling you, amen, if internal sin had a smell to it today, amen, I doubt we'd even be able to stay in the building. Amen. We'd have to pass out nose plugs today for the stench and the distractions that God's people have allowed into their life. Our sin has crept in and we excuse it away. And we act like it ain't no big deal. And we act like it's just me. And it's everybody else's problem. And what Paul is saying is, keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't be distracted. Don't be distracted by sin. Amen. Well, that's preaching so good right there. Felt like I hit a stump. And all I know to do is back up and hit her again. Amen. Don't be distracted by sin. What you been looking at lately? Wonder why you can't enjoy church? What you been talking about lately? No wonder we can't run a race and stay consistent. What you been thinking on? What have you been harboring on the inside? Amen. I'm just telling you, amen, if I've learned anything over the last 11 months, if I've learned anything, my friend, in recent months, it is this. Don't allow, amen, the distraction of sin that is allowed. Don't let it cause you to get your eyes off Jesus. Amen. Well, we've kicked that and I could kick her again. Let me say, amen, don't be distracted by suffering. Verse 2. He said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, what did he do? He endured the cross. The cross is an emblem of shame and suffering. Amen. Paul is saying to them, I know the cross that you bear. I know the suffering that you're feeling. I know the shame that you're facing. Don't allow the suffering to get you distracted. Amen. Don't give too much attention. Amen. To the suffering that you're going through and having to endure away. Amen. Because when you're looking at your suffering and you're distracted and about your suffering, my friend, your eyes are not on Jesus. Can I share my heart with you? I'll tell you what's killing America politically, what's killing the church in these recent 360 something days. Everybody wants to talk about their own suffering. Everybody wants to focus in on their own hurt. Everybody wants to talk about and be acknowledged for how they've been done wrong and how their cross is so heavy. And buddy, all the while the devil's sitting back having a heyday. Oh, Brother Jerome, we ain't got enough sense to understand. It ain't about you. It ain't about your hurt. It ain't about you being acknowledged. All of that is a distraction. I'm keeping our eyes on Jesus. Amen. God help us. Amen. Listen. Amen. We've got to listen. If you're in conversation and your conversation's more about your hurt and about your pain and about your suffering and it is about magnifying the Lord, and man, friend, you have become distracted in these days. Amen. And Paul said, amen, the answer to all of that, amen, is keep your eyes on Jesus. Is it loud? You better believe it is. Amen. The old flesh says, I can't believe this is happening. The old flesh says, I can't take anymore. Amen. But the Holy Ghost on the inside, if you ever let Him focus it and keep your eyes on Jesus, it's amazing how all that suffering seems little. Amen. I'm telling you, I'm preaching right. Y'all may be quiet, but I'm telling you, amen, if we're going to make it there, I know, Miss Tori, I know that there are distractions that are loud. Amen. But somebody going to have to rise above the distraction. Amen. And not be distracted by sin and by suffering. Why does it shock you you've had bad days? Job so long ago said, man that's born of a woman's a few days and full of trouble. Why are we so shocked, Brother Gerald, when we have a bad day? Why is it when we have a bad day, it's the end of the world? We've been told all through the Word of God, yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And Paul faced hardship. And Christ faced hardship. And Peter and John and James and the disciples. Amen. Listen, nearly every one of them faced and had to bear some sort of cross of suffering. Amen. Why do we think we're any better than them? American Christianity, amen, American Christianity is so shallow. We'd have never made it in them early days of the church. We've been so spoiled. Amen. I really am trying to have a word in season for the weary. I think I've got it. Don't be distracted by your suffering. Then let me say this, don't be distracted by sinners. I love verse number 3, for consider him. Look at him. Open your eyes. Take him in. Give an evaluation of what? Him that endured such contradiction of sinners. In other words, Paul brings us to the matter of personal offenses. And he says, sinners done Jesus wrong. They worked in contradiction to the Lord, but the Lord didn't kick out the traces. The Lord didn't stop short. He didn't even get weary in faith. Amen. And we are called upon this. I understand we all get done wrong. We all have people that, amen, and it's sad, and sometimes, amen, it's the saints who treat us like sinners. I understand that. I understand that. But dear God, you gonna nurse your wounds till Jesus comes back? All it is a distraction that hinders us from running the race we've been saved to run. Hey man, you got to learn to let some things go. You got to learn, my friend, that, amen, whether they're sinners or saints, but, amen, just people in general that, amen, weren't contradictory to your life. Amen, you just got to learn, my friend, to keep your eyes on the Lord. You know, the Lord's never done us wrong. You know, the Lord's never failed us. You know, the Lord ain't never said a bad word about us. You know, the Lord, my friend, oh, hallelujah. Amen, and what Paul has said is keep your eyes on Jesus. Amen. Don't be distracted by what sinners do to you. Amen. You just don't know. You don't know what they done to me. What are you going to do about it? I tell you what we better learn, Gerald, is just how to keep our eyes on Jesus. I'm not being rude. God knows I'm not being rude. I'm not being rude today. I'm a pastor, and church people and even people outside the church come and confide in me at different times, and I'm grateful for that ministry. Do you know what I've heard over the last year? Everybody wants to talk about how wrong they've been done. Quiet in here. You know why it's quiet? Because 99% of us is probably guilty of it. And it's become such a distraction. It ain't about my family. I tell everyone in my family, it ain't about our family and it ain't about your family. It's about the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. So long as we're distracted by wanting to argue who's been hurt the worst and who's gone through the most and who's... Listen, buddy, I'm telling you, we will not make it to the finish line if we're distracted by what others do to us. It's good preaching, Pastor. It's great, great preaching this morning. It's for, you say, who's that for? It's for me and it's for you. Amen. Keep your eyes upon Jesus, though the distractions be. Amen. Be loud. Number 2, amen. Keep your eyes on Jesus, though the distance be long. Amen. Can I tell you, we're not in a sprint. We're not in a 40-yard dash. We're not even in a 100-yard dash. Amen. This thing we're in, it is a marathon. And I don't know how long it's going to be. I don't know how much longer we have to run in this race. Amen. But here's what Paul said. Amen. Paul said you've got to run with patience a race that is set before you. Amen. He gives us the illustration of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Saying that He Himself endured. Amen. That is for 33 and a half years. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ had a race to run. And yours may be longer or shorter. Amen. You may run a real, real long race. But, amen, we ought to have the mindset, and I don't think it's that hard to do. Amen. Brother Tim, to feel like sometimes at this distance in this race is just too long for us. Sometimes it's long and sometimes it's hard. Sometimes we don't ever feel like it's ever going to end. Preacher, what do I do? Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Amen. It's going to require some patience. Amen. That word patience that is used there. Amen. We don't know much about it. Amen. As far as in Bible terminology. Amen. Somebody said, boy, I got patience. I'm a putting up with a lot. Well, that ain't really patience. Amen. It ain't the kind Paul's talking about. Amen. It means to. Amen. It means to endure and have a cheerful or hopeful endurance, to have a constancy. Amen. That is to just remain consistent. Amen. On the days when everything is going good. Amen. Keep your eyes on Jesus and be happy. That ain't real hard, is it? Amen. But my friend, when things ain't going well and the family's struggling and the church is struggling it and the country is struggling it and just your mind is weary, what do you do? Amen. Paul said that's when you need some patience. Yep. Yep. Put a smile on your face. Yep. Operate in the hope that the Holy Ghost has put in your soul. Run on. Is that right? Yep. I believe that's right. Let me preach this on out. I'll be done. Amen. I ain't been preaching but 40 minutes. Y'all look like it's been an hour and 40 minutes. I'm helping us now. I'm trying to help us. Amen. Though the distance be long. And so can I say here, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And so we see there's a patience in verse number 1. But can I say, amen, here that there is a promise found in verse 2. Amen, looking unto Jesus, the author. He's the one got you on the starting line. He's the one found you when you was hellbound. He's the one rescued you. He's the one saved your life. He's the one gave you a life worth living. He is the author of your faith. But He didn't just get you started. He is the finisher of your faith. And so while you run, here's the promise, is that you're not running alone. You say, but preacher, so-and-so left me, and so-and-so said they'd be there, but they ain't. My friend, the Lord said, amen, I am Jesus Christ. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. I will never leave thee, and I will never forsake thee. And when you cross the finish line, it'll be the Lord Jesus Christ who gets you there. Looking unto Jesus, though the distance be long, there is a patience and there is a promise. And then can I say there is a pattern? Amen. I'm cutting out a lot. Amen. I don't want to preach this in two parts. I want to get it off my heart if y'all will let me. Amen. This morning there's a pattern. Amen. There is a pattern. You say, he immediately goes into who for the joy that was set before him. Look at Jesus. Keep your eyes on him. He's your pattern for how to do it. You say, well, this person in my life or that person in my life, they're doing it this way. It don't matter what they're doing. Doesn't matter what they're doing. They may be doing it right. And they may be doing it wrong. Paul says, your pattern must be the Lord Jesus Christ. In His pattern, we are, amen, to look to His resolve. Again, He is the author and finisher there. There is surely the personal application we just make. But my friend, there is also, amen, that application to His work. Amen, to His atoning work at Calvary and what He was sent to do. Amen, He came, He was the author of it, and He began it. Amen, but at the cross, He's the one that said, "It is finished." And so, He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. Can I put it this way? As our pattern, we must understand in His resolve that Christ completed what He started. He didn't stop one day short. He left no loose ends. Brother A.L., there was nothing left to be tied up, praise God. Thank God He who left the portals of glory, amen, came with a mission in mind. Amen, came with a job to do. He came with a task at hand. And He did not stop, and He did not wear out, and He did not quit in His humanity. Amen, until every jot and every tittle had been done. Christ completed what He started. You say, well, that's the Son of God. That's, amen, He had the power of God at His fingertips. Well, if you will consider His humanity and the land of His resolve. Amen, when He came, He was born to an unwed mother in a stable. He grew up with poor parents and was threatened as a baby. He moved as a child and grew up in a despicable town of Nazareth. His father died when he was young and it was upon his shoulders. And his responsibility to support his family. He had no home or place to lay his head. He was hated by others, accused of insanity and devil possession, and opposed by his family, rejected and hated by the crowds, and betrayed by his friends. He was tried for treason, only to have his life end in execution as a common criminal. You want to talk about how bad your life's been. Ain't nobody suffered like the Lord Jesus did. Not just at Calvary, the entirety of His life shows you and I that He is the pattern, He is the one. His life get long sometimes. Does it feel like sometimes it's so long that we'll never make it? I understand that. Amen. But the whole key to all of it is keep your eyes on Jesus. Amen. Though the distance be long, He has set a pattern. Amen. He had resolved. Amen. Resolved that no matter what the devil tempted Him to do, amen, He was going to do what God sent Him to do. No matter even when His own followers said, amen, be it not so, Lord, you're not going to go to Calvary. He looked at Him and said, get thee behind me, Satan. And that friend, He dealt with His own friends, said, even His own family didn't understand. And that friend Christ said, I am resolved and I must complete that I've started. It's got to become our mentality. It's got to become our mentality. Amen. Look to not only His resolve, we can look to His reasons. Why did Christ endure the cross? Why did Christ, despising the shame, go through all that was there? If we took a survey today, we'd have probably a half dozen different answers. Can I say first and foremost, His reason that is a pattern to you and me, that when the distance feels long, that Lucas, amen, His number one reason for finishing what He started, being faithful to His Father, was His Father. The Father had given Him His instructions. The Father was the one He wanted to please. The Father was the one that he was invested in to make sure. And at the end of the day, his Father was satisfied. It didn't matter what Peter and James and John thought. It didn't matter what his own mama thought. It didn't matter what Judas thought. It didn't matter to him what the Pharisees said and the Sadducees said and the Herodians thought. He didn't care about what Pilate or Herod considered it. He didn't give any evaluation to the Roman soldiers. Oh no, at the end of the day, his reason was his Father. We've lost sight of that in this day. Amen. You, my friend, when the distance feels like it's too long, you got to keep your eyes on Jesus. What to help you is realizing that Christ displayed what ought to be our own motivation, our own inspiration. And it ought to be wrapped up in, I want to please the one who saved me and called me. If nobody else likes it, tough. Amen. Endured the cross, despising the shame. What are his reasons? He did it for the Father. May I say, we do well to learn that, but number two, he did it for the church. He did it for the church. See, there's an element of Calvary there, and no small element, no small matter, but we understand that in Calvary he loved the church and he gave himself for it. He was willing to suffer. He was willing to endure the cross. He was willing, amen, to bear up under the shame. Amen. You know why? Because he had a love for the church. Now, I will say, amen, beyond just, amen, the Father, and that's first and foremost. Amen, you know what, my friend, keeps me going, though the way seems long. Amen, though the journey sometimes seems like, amen, it's greater than I can bear. Amen, listen, when God saved me, before God saved me, but Tim, I didn't love the church. In fact, it was a part of me that hated the church. I hated being made to go. I hated what I heard when I got there. I hated your singing and your shouting. Say, you was a preacher's kid. Yep. And it's all true the same. But when God saved me, and I don't mean I had to go through 6 weeks of discipleship training to get it. The minute God saved me, I fell in love with the church. I stand here today not because the road's been easy, not because the road has been short and paved. My friend with marshmallows said, and no potholes and no roadblocks and no hindrances. Amen. I stand here today through all the journey yet and through all of it first and foremost. Tim, I want to please the Father. I do it for the Father. But when God saved me, I began to love, amen, so dearly that I one time hated. Amen. I've been hurt at church. In fact, I get hurt more at church than I do anywhere else because that's where I am most of the time. Amen. I ain't been hurt. In fact, I think I could say I ain't been hurt out in the world as bad as I've been hurt in church, and they ain't no hurt like church hurt. I'm a preaching to us. I'm being your pastor today. I'm preaching to us. Dear God, help us to get over things for the sake of the church. Amen. I ain't being mean. I am trying to encourage us today. Amen. Everybody wants to say, well, in the last year, this person's been hurt more than that person and my family and your family and this and that. Amen. Listen, I've told some of my family this week, we ain't been hurt no more then that church has suffered. You can say what you want. It ain't my family, it ain't yours, and it ain't anybody who ain't here this morning. You know who's paying the biggest price for the last year
of people having internal turmoil and weariness and falling out of the way. You know who's paying for that the most? The church is. Amen. It's an absolute truth this morning. You say, preacher, are you trying to wail on us? No, I'm trying to say that Christ is our pattern, and Christ was done wrong and done wrong by religious people. He was done wrong by those of His day who were in charge of worship and who sang with Him and who walked by Him. Amen, friend, yet the Lord at the end of the day, amen, had a resolve, and the reason is He kept going because of His love for the church. Oh, dear God, help us. Help us. Amen. Listen, to my own family, our own family ain't as important as the cause of the church. I love this place. I love the church. I've loved every church I've been a part of since God saved me. Churches go through seasons. Churches go through times of hardship, and sometimes we're just doing the best we know to do. Ain't ever crossed my mind to be a problem for the church. Ain't ever crossed my mind how I was being affected somehow was more important than the cause. Amen, there is a cause. David showed up in the battle. Amen, in that crowd, they're all pointing fingers and arguing about who's going to go and who should go. All the while, the enemy's mocking them and laughing at them until some little old shepherd boy, amen, showed up with the anointing of God on his leg, and he had to look at them crowd and say, is there not a cause? Have you forgot the cause? I think Paul is saying, yes, it gets tough sometimes. The distance gets long. When you look at him, endured the cross, despising the shame, he didn't get all caught up with his own feelings. He went and he stayed faithful. He run his race to the end. And he did it for the Father. And he did it for the church. Everybody all right? God knows my heart. I want us to get a hold of it. 2021 could be an awesome year. 2021 could be so amazing. Amen. But people are going to have to look to Christ and get their eyes on Him and fix their minds on Him and gaze upon Him and look upon Him. And my friend, pattern our thinking and our mind and our lives after Jesus. His reason. His resolve. His reasons included the Father. He did it for the Father. He did it for the church. Can I say He did it for the lost? I gotta quit. Got so much, Brother Joe. Got so much. He did it for the lost. You know what's so sad and breaks my heart more than anything? The last 12 months, then so many sinners draw their last breath and die and go to hell. Why the people of God, the church of the living God, dilly-dallies around. Jesus said, I got to do what I've got to do while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. I'm not being mean today, Brother A.L., and it's not just our church thing. It's all across our country. Churches are fussing and fighting and drawing lines, and all the while the world is dying and going to hell. Jesus said, I have a reason. Have a reason not to quit
The song has been sung and written. He could have called 10,000 angels. I would argue that he could have. He could have with a word escaped the cross, but he was inspired with the reason and said, sinners got to be saved. Went on and he finished what he authored. Dirt under the load. His resolve, his reasons. Verse number 2 tells us about the pattern. We can look to him about his reward. Consider his reward. And is what? Set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You see, in all that he faced, some would say, amen, he died a premature death. His life was snuffed out. His life was a waste. I don't know, friend, nothing can be further from the truth. He came to run a race. He came to do the Father's will. He came with an objective in mind, and he was faithful to the end, and I can't help how the world would do it. And in the end, where is the Lord? His reward is he has given access to sin on the right hand of the throne of God. Can I tell you, whatever we face in this hour, amen, don't forget what I'm preaching now. Amen, keep your eyes on Jesus. Though the distance be long. Why, preacher? Because we ain't home yet. And all of this world and all of this life, with all its bumps and bruises and hurts and pains and tears, thank God one day it's going to be ended. Amen. Whether by grave or whether by rapture. Amen. Whether by, amen, the undertaker or the upper taker. Amen. We are leaving this world, and to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And there is a rewarding day that is to come. Don't quit now. Don't ease up now. I ain't got time. I got to quit. I'm done right here. He knew heaven was the finish line. That there he would sit down from his labor in the presence of God. Keep your eyes on Jesus, church. Dear God, keep your eyes on Jesus. Going home. We're headed home one of these days. Preacher, you don't know how long it is. Maybe I do, maybe I don't. But I know this, we can make it, though the distractions be loud, the distance be long, we can make it. We keep our eyes on Him. Closing thought, I just mentioned it while she begins to play. Keep your eyes on Jesus, though the discouragements be low. Verse 3 said, for consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be what? Weary and faint. Where at, Brother Mo? In your minds. You remember the definition we give, one of the definitions we give for looking? What did it mean? It meant to fix upon with the mind. Told over and over in the Word of God, be not weary in well doing. Are there discouragements? Oh, yes. Verse 1, there's a discouragement of weights. In verse 2, I see an alluding, Brother Billy, to the discouragement of waiting. We've got started, but we're not at the finish line yet. We're just
waiting, and sometimes waiting is discouraging. Amen. Ain't nobody here likes to wait. Amen. So how do you know that? Amen. I've rode with some of y'all. You don't like nobody slowing you down. We get discouraged with waiting. Lord, when's it going to turn around? Lord, when's things going to get better? Am I the only one in the building? Sometimes it gets discouraging just waiting. Preached a message here last year. I preached it this week. Lord, let me preach out of Zechariah, and it shall come to pass. And we know that sometimes when we're going through that thing before it comes to pass, we get discouraged just waiting. Then there's discouragement of just weariness. He said, lest you be weary. The word weary means to just be wore out from your labor. To get tired from the fight. Anybody get tired just... And I know, listen, I'm not talking about not contending for the faith. I'm not talking about fighting against sin and standing against sin. But man, in the last 12 months, just in general now, society, and it seeps into the religious realm, the political realm, I'm so sick of everybody fighting each other. Wearisome. Wears you out. I'm not talking about not fighting for our cause. There's a cause. There's some fights, buddy, you get in, you just go to fighting, and that fighting cause of what you're fighting for is fun. But just listen, why is the divorce rate skyrocketing in the last 12 months? Because people are just tired of butting heads. That word faint, I know I said I was done. I feel like God's helping us. That word faint, you know what it means? It means to relax and to loosen. You know what happens when we get discouraged? We'll start loosening things that need to stay tight. Start relaxing in areas of our spiritual life to our own detriment. Everybody okay? Hey, church, let's keep our eyes on Jesus. Let's keep our eyes on Jesus. I hope you don't go out of here and say, "Oh, Pastor, he just... God bear me witness in the Holy Ghost. This text, and John didn't know. I've been chewing on this text. And Brother Joe didn't know. Just burden for my own life, my own family, my own church, my own generation. But Larry, Christians somewhere along the way better realize Paul gave us the key. Eyes on Jesus. Stand with me. I'm done. Heavenly Father, thank you this morning for the grace of our God. We love you today. Lord, we need help from heaven. Lord, if there's ever been a generation that needed help from heaven, Lord, we need it. Dear God, we need it. Pray, Lord, that you'd help us. Lord, I pray this morning, Lord, for that one who's weary and faint, discouraged. Lord, looking at the distance ahead, Lord, don't know how they're going to keep on. Lord, those that maybe are distracted. Oh, God, I pray. Lord, you'd help us, Lord, to let the Holy Ghost work this into us. Help us, Lord, to keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, no, we preached a while today. Lord, didn't depend on it, feel like the Holy Ghost has moved and helped us. So Lord, I pray this morning, help the church. Lord, help every family and every individual. Bless you for what you do. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray.